Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
To our bumper and drive it in between, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Oh, and it's that man, Pete Donaldson.
Rimplefleff.
Indeed. I could not agree anymore.
His new language.
Now, the new Star Wars film is out this week, so in light of that, who from the world of football would you like or even dislike to find out was your actual father, Jim?
Is it like or dislike?
Either.
Wow, okay. That throws it into jeopardy, because I thought it was just dislike.
Because the film doesn't go, Luke, I am your father, and do you like me?
I've established by then he's not a fan.
I'll tell you now off the bat, I've gone dislike.
That's fine.
I've worded the question like or dislike. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. Don't hijack a question. Any question, for that matter.
I will if I want.
No, you won't. Now, Jim.
So yeah, I'd be delighted to find out that Ian Wright was my real dad, and I say that because right, you'll get a lot of encouragement from Ian Wright, and he will be a genuine inspiration. Mm. But also, you will get away with so much. Like, you just really, really would, wouldn't you? And he's shown he's up for an adoption. Yeah, so this could even become real.
One of his sons has got away from playing actually quite well in MLS.
Yeah, Brady Wright Phillips doing
very
well.
Who would have thought, Jim?
The only downside I can see is that, as you've mentioned, that Ian Wright's showing he's up for adoption. I mean this in the nicest possible way. Has the bar with his existing sons been set too high for you, do you think?
Well, I also worry there may be an age issue.
That's also true.
It's probably not up for it, is it?
Well, no, probably not. Also, I don't think my actual parents would be that happy.
No.
If I eloped at this stage.
Or ever. Because they've done the hard work already.
Exactly.
And he's coming and taking all the glory.
Well, definitely.
Glory. Glory, so to speak.
like Dave Benson Phillips must feel. I assume that's Sean Wright Phillips' real dad. So Ian Wright, I want Ian Wright to come along and be my daddy.
He travels around on a motorbike, Jim. I couldn't see you on the back of it.
I could.
Sidecar.
I know.
Like Gromit.
Yeah, exactly like Gromit.
And who for the world of football would you like or dislike to be your sidecar?
Be in your sidecar or be the sidecar, because that's kind of dark.
Yeah.
Bit Mad Maxy, that.
Yeah.
Luke's turn.
Because I interpreted it as dislike, I thought, who is the most cringeworthy, worst person whose opinions on just about everything I disagree with? so we would always be butting heads. And I settled on the great man himself, Richard Keys.
He's about the right age.
Yeah. And I believe Richard Keys has got some working in like football production or something like that anyway. Yeah. I am absolutely stunned as to how he got that job. But anyway, I'm only joking. I don't know the guy. I'm sure he's a great producer or whatever he does. But I would...
He works for Sirius.
I would very much dislike Richard Keys to be my father. Yeah. And I'm tempted to say, no offence, Richard, but yes offence, Richard.
Yeah.
I mean, that is
Vader-esque.
Because you're everything I dislike in a man.
He's probably had... To be fair, he's probably had every other insult under the sun.
Yeah.
And this is probably a unique one. He's probably nice.
Oh, I hope so.
Probably pleased.
I hope if he hears it and is refreshed by the angle.
Mm. He's got
I've insulted him with.
He's got a bit of banter, though.
He's
got mega banter.
Banter your hand off.
To be fair, dad bants. He has got the dad bants.
Mm. No.
Pat.
I don't know what it is, but it's not... no fathers want to be...
Richard Keys has now been mentioned on The Ramble. Welcome to the big time, Richard. as he would say.
My friends,
Peter,
I've adopted Luke.
Yeah.
The thing that kind of sets my dad apart, specifically apart from other dads that I've seen, is that I have seen my dad pick out a carcass of chicken from a bin several times and eat it.
What? Right.
So my mum's thrown away at the carcass of the chicken.
So presumably some sort of wolf. Is your new dad?
And
Wolfsburg.
And my dad's he's
Van
fond
Wolf
of like
Spingle.
He's fan fond
Wolfgang
of like
Wolf. Dress.
he's a fan of a stretchy waistband. So what I'm thinking
every dad is.
Yeah, I know, but a stretchy waistband, and he eats out the bin. Neville Southall.
So you want to stick with what you already know?
A man who looks like he smells of onions.
Yeah, you don't want to... You're very happy with your dad currently.
I like my dad.
Yeah.
I'm fond of him.
Good, so you'd like to stick with the same.
Fond of him, yeah.
Pete and I learned recently our dads look remarkably similar.
Very strange.
Because think of a downside with Big Nev. Didn't he have some sort of legal dispute with his own daughter?
Yeah, you've got to be careful.
I wouldn't take any of his medals, though. I wouldn't... Sorry.
Too many of your own, mate.
Exactly. I'd be selling them up rather than selling them down.
He'd be nicking them off you.
He could have my perfidious album 2012 Most Improved Player.
Yeah, any sort of award, like third best overnight radio show in London or something?
Got nominated for an Arkiva once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Don't know what that is.
Yeah, Nobody knows what that is.
The commercial radio ones. It's the radio awards where they take out the BBC, the talented ones.
Okay.
And the commercial radio ones just kind of...
Did you win?
Talk about their 30-second links.
Did you win?
No, did not win.
Just said nominated.
Nominated. Exactly,
yeah. Like when someone says, "Oh, I got on the podium," you finished third.
Yeah.
Either that, or you caused a security, alarm.
It's true. Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy jump.
At one point in the afternoon, I was on the podium.
And it also got nominated in like an athletics type style where a lot of people were struck off for drug bans.
There's a lot of that.
Where's
in radio?
My medal the media, ceremony? Yeah.
There's a lot of that in media. To be fair.
Ironically,
true. I would like to discover my actual father. I mean, this would probably be biologically impossible, but Harvard, because it would just make sense.
That man has a beautiful body. Mm, he does. I'd like him to hold it against me.
Him, or, I mean, a rather different specimen of man, Steve Bruce, because he would give great hugs.
Great
with
hugs, me. Yeah. I was thinking about the hug angle. I was thinking him more like, yeah, Nigel Martin or something.
Nigel Martin,
big old
former Leeds United goalkeeper.
Harvard certainly, yeah, makes fashion sense for, yeah, you, Spelsy.
Really?
Yeah, but I tell you, Nigel Martin is apparently well known as having the worst fashion sense in the history of football, isn't, yeah, he? As well, I remember seeing him once. It's a long time ago now. I won't be able to reproduce this or find a picture, but I remember seeing a picture of him around the sort of late 90s wearing some really old, like, string-tied tracksuit bottoms with a Hawaiian shirt tucked into them.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
And I don't think it was a joke.
No. That's the kind of way that... who's the dead guy where he goes in the film with the two people?
Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's.
How well do we know each other?
Jim, very good. Yeah.
Like, earlier on, did he give you a little word in your ear? I wouldn't mention Weekend at Bernie's.
I've learned his language, as I said. That thing he said earlier just meant hello, everyone.
Yeah. The film with the dead guy and the two men. What needs?
I've had a long day and very little sleep. Yeah. So there's more of that later, I imagine.
As had Bernie.
Yeah. Yeah. So can we have a little honourable mention for actual dad Vincent Kompany? Did you see him with his little boy at the weekend?
No.
He is like an incredible little mini me. He's got the same very distinctive shaped head.
Oh. Amazing.
He just looks brilliant.
I love it when that happens.
We'd all like David Beckham to be our dad, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Everyone'd love that.
We can't have Vincent Kompany though, because he's younger than all of us.
God, that's depressing, isn't it?
I wonder, are there laws in the UK which say you can't adopt someone older than you?
You can't have a dad who's younger than you.
I imagine adoption. That's
what
this has never come
point.
Up.
Yeah, I don't know. It might happen.
I am your legal guardian. Yeah. You are older than me.
At Football Ramble.
There was an American Life where two prisoners, one prisoner adopted the other prisoner as his son, which is beautiful.
Well, surely you've got to be
sitcom in waiting.
Haven't you got to be of adult age to be in prison though? So surely you don't need to be adopted.
I think they just got on so well. One guy had never had a dad, and he'd never really had a son. So
I want to be more than friends. What
was it? Was it like,
I want you to be my dad?
We're getting on.
I want to be your dad.
They're like, we're getting on really well. You think of what I'm thinking. Yeah, what, you want me to adopt you? No! Go for a pint! And we both get out! You know, let's be friends on the outside.
I think Luke's got the points.
Thank
of the
you very
keys.
Much. About time.
There must be a Brazilian player called Dad.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Fred and Dad.
Yeah. True. In the Premier League, dearie me, Manchester United.
Mm. Would you like Van Gaal to be your dad?
No.
Imagine that.
Three words for you, Jim.
Keith.
Three words for you. Climate of fear. You wouldn't come in late with Van Gaal as your dad.
Issues. No. You call him Van Gaal again.
I know, I've changed it up. Let's keep people on their toes.
Do you?
Well, if he's going to be inconsistent, we can be inconsistent.
Yeah. Like his football team.
They're not that inconsistent, though.
That was Jim's point.
I mean, they cancelled their Christmas party after they were eliminated from
Bournemouth
the Champions League.
Their Christmas party again.
Yeah, Bournemouth cancelled the Man United party.
The party town in the UK as well.
Football Ramble, we didn't cancel our Christmas party.
We did not.
We'll give that a plug later.
Yeah.
Or we just have.
Yeah.
I mean, Louis van Gaal has assured us that Manchester United are better this season than last season. So if you're a Manchester United fan, you probably take great comfort from that.
Merry Christmas.
He really didn't give a damn during that interview after the match, saying things to the effect of the club is not as big as they used to be and you can't live off former glories and all this kind of stuff.
It's like he's like an agent taking them down from the inside on purpose.
He really is. Scholes and Ferdinand and Owen were on BT Sport, and they made some good points. I think they said something along the lines that they could do what Liverpool did. You know, if you spoke to people in was it 89-90 season Liverpool last won the league? It was certainly around that time. If you'd have said to anybody involved in the game of football, or who watches football, Liverpool will go more than 25 years not winning the league, they just would not have it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Manchester United are going to, but the three of them were sort of hinting, they've got to sort this out.
Financially, Manchester United have built a platform that it makes it very hard for them not to overachieve compared to other teams and stuff, because they had so much success and they marketed themselves so well around the world.
The biggest, I was interested in Ferdinand's comments. I don't know if he made it in that particular show, Marcus, but I read about them yesterday where he was saying, or might have even been this morning, where he was saying that he thinks that there's a climate of fear there, like that he thinks that the players are scared to try things. They're so rigidly stuck in this Van Gaal system where they don't want to do anything because they know they're going to get hammered if they make a mistake and stuff. Yeah. Clearly, that isn't the most fertile of environments to be playing football in. But one of the other things that's interesting to me is I know they've got a lot of injuries. And they've got 9 injuries, I think, of players you would describe as first-team players. So that's clearly a lot by anyone's record. I mean, Newcastle have got more, by the way, and I think Arsenal have got around that number.
And Bournemouth themselves.
Yeah, but the thing is, you still don't expect United to play 3 of the back 4 who aren't anywhere near recognisable names.
Well, they're sort of blooding in like Cameron Borthwick Jackson.
I've never heard of him.
I assume a lot of people hadn't, to be fair, because it's just like this isn't the time for you to be bringing young players through because you're not getting the results and the team's just getting a lot of criticism and that's no way to bring a player.
Against Wolfsburg, he brought off Mata.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But I mean, it's getting to the point where it's almost him trolling the Manchester United supporters.
I think so, yeah.
Like they chase in the game against Bournemouth. He brings on Nick Powell and Phil Jones.
Phil Jones, yeah. 5 minutes left brings on Phil Jones. Yeah.
But he's acting almost like an interim manager, isn't he? Mm. It's a very strange thing because you know he keeps saying, "Yeah, I'm retiring in like after 2017 or whenever it is." And it's like, I mean, at least pretend your heart's in it. Because it really does.
Yeah,
seem
I think
like
that's a fair
actually
point.
Not that bothered.
I think it's actually pretty disrespectful
to Man United.
Yeah,
but the fans, the people at the club, the players.
Mm. But he is. It's almost like he's saying, "I'm Louis van Gaal. Don't you forget that."
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's kind of like, well, yes, you're a very impressive CV. You've produced some wonderful football teams over the years, absolutely. But that doesn't mean to say you can
he sort of rocked up and sort of went, "I'm the big man here. Yeah. No one's bigger than me." And you're damn right, because all of our players are pretty pawny, to be honest.
At the time, I did need that, though. Yeah. I needed somebody who wasn't going to be overwhelmed by the job.
I mean, he was a good appointment. There's no doubt about that. And who knows, he could turn it around. They could still well win the league.
Well, yeah, but the
fact of the matter is, they're out the Champions League. They've had some poor results. They're not exciting the fans at all. And they've just lost to Bournemouth. 2-1. They are not doing very well at all. And the rhetoric is he's giving off is, well, get used to it because we're not what we used to be. The fans can't hear that. You can't say that because that's defeatist. That is, well, to be honest with you, that's the way it goes. I mean, if you look at Klopp, we'll come on to that, obviously, when he says teams cannot come here and beat us playing long ball and defensive.
Yeah, play. I enjoyed that. Yeah,
he's right. He's right. Mm, yeah. That's what you need. Van Gaal needs to come out and go, that's not good enough. We know it's not good enough. We've already gone out of the Champions League. Not this. Well, we're better than last season. Who cares?
Yeah. But I do think that the way the Premier League is this season, the only teams that are really getting anything out of the league and taking those top positions are the ones who are really going for it and kind of throwing caution to the wind a little bit. The ones that are kind of like around about 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th and stuff, they're the ones that are just keeping it tight and keeping it safe and not really sort of working that hard on their actual goal scoring, I think, is the main
thing. United have got the best defence in the Premier League, I think, haven't they? And the problem... I wonder whether we're talking about Van Gaal the same way we've talked about Capello in the past, about whether... Fine, he won the Champions League in 1995, but that was 20 seasons ago. You know, the game moved on ever such a lot.
I mean, he did get Bayern to a final.
He did.
In the last sort of 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, he did. But Bayern are clearly a huge club, and I'm not denigrating that. It's clearly a great achievement as well. Yeah. But the point is, it's not necessarily true that older managers can't do well in the modern football, but certain types of older managers are going to be set in their ways, they're going to be pretty stubborn, and Van Gaal certainly seems like a stubborn character. I think we can all agree on that. Mm. So it may just well be that the game has just passed him by, the same way it has with Capello, the same way it has with your mate Sven-Göran Eriksson, that type of stuff. And that does happen, and it's no disgrace. And he's not going to turn down Man United, is he? And it's his final job in football. Of course, no one would do that. Mm. But I'm always put in mind of a thing Arrigo Sacchi said, the great Milan manager, where he said, "I'm the director of a production of a play.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
The players are actors. And I give them a role, but they have to interpret the role. They can't just rigidly stick to the role I've given them." So when you think of like a classic Shakespearean play or drama, like Hamlet or something, everyone who plays Hamlet interprets it in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
There are more ways to skin a cat. Mm. So in a way, the players have to take a certain amount of responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's not really acceptable for them to say, "Oh, you know, well, we're not allowed to do anything," sort of thing. I know they're not saying that, but they're sort of behaving like that. And the players have got to interpret the role in a more adaptable way, because it also reminds me of something Souness said at the weekend, where he said, how many of these players stand up in the middle of a game and go, or at half time and go, "Well, you're not doing well enough. You're not doing well enough. I'm not doing well enough. Let's make this better. And Thierry Henry actually said something interesting. He said, I used to do that all the time. And then towards the end of my career, when I was doing it, everyone would just look at me like I was weird. Like, what are you doing? Just sit down, wait for the manager to get on with it.
Really?
Finish his bit, and then we'll go back out there again. And Henry was saying he would pull people up and pull himself up and try and get people to G each other up. But they just don't do that anymore.
Well, the funny thing is that the one place where that did happen, according to the manager, was Newcastle away to Spurs.
Yeah.
McLaren said that. They went in the dressing room, and he wanted that, and he was pleased. And said, everyone was going, this is nonsense. This is not us. We're better than this. And the whole atmosphere in the dressing room was, come on, we can do better.
He was pleased because he was just really worried about what was going to happen second half.
He was, yeah.
I just need some help, to be honest.
But with Manchester United, I think actually, we've been a bit full on about Van Gaal there, and rightly so. But I think also, let's look at the players. We're looking at the shirts. We're not looking at the faces.
Yes.
And actually, that Manchester United side isn't particularly good, is it?
No, it's not.
For the standards of that club.
It just seems to be like there's like eight slow players and then two really quick ones. And it's like... and
who's in the middle?
And they can't
the average pace players? That's what we want.
And they can't break at speed and they can't play as they often used to do.
But what about Bournemouth, though?
They were good in midfield.
Just beat the champions. They've just beaten Manchester United.
This has got to be the biggest result they've ever had. Like, that's what Hal said last week, wasn't it?
And
this is genuinely better.
Since the last one.
Indeed. I think they're particularly good in midfield. I think his name escapes me now, but the guy who played in midfield, Dan Gosling, who played
very good.
Fellaini was very, very good. I know Fellaini scored, but overall...
Weird goal, that, as well.
It was, yeah.
What a performance from Harry Arter as well.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness,
a terrible week.
Obviously, he's child died.
His child died.
Yeah. Baby died.
At birth,
awful. Yeah, it's so incredible.
But he basically
said,
I need to be out on the field. Yeah. I need to clear my head a bit. And he put him one hell of a performance. He did 86 minutes, something like that.
Incredible. And I mean, Bournemouth's goal, the first one from a corner.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful thing to do. It's like a hole in one, isn't it, for a goalkeeper? Yeah.
It was wind assisted, though, wasn't it? I mean, it looked dramatic.
You should never go in from a corner, though.
I don't think
a goalkeeper shouldn't
defend against the elements. No, I don't think.
I would agree with you ordinarily, but I think if you see it from behind where the corner was actually taken, it whips right out. And De Gea rightly has no idea the trajectory of the ball because it just then hammers it back in. I think he thought it was going way out.
It
drops right in.
But then King's goal reminded me of the old Teddy Sheringham routine.
Yeah.
If you remember that.
That was a great set piece move, but you also think United should be more on the toes.
Yeah. Well, he didn't even smash it. It's just
side-footed it straight into
the centre of the net.
What's really interesting is actually they were very shoddy with their marking on corners. So maybe it's zonal, I don't know. But again, Van Gaal's instructions, it looks, when you look at what the players are doing at those corners, like Juan Mata just standing in a position where he's basically... you know, everywhere but anywhere useful. Is it getting through to them? Are they actually enacting it? It seems just a bit of a fudge, doesn't it?
It does. But across town, their noisy neighbours, they won again. But they don't look too good at the moment, do they? Really? I mean, the Swans thought they'd snatched a point.
Oh, that was heartbreaking for them. Because that was such an unlucky goal to concede the last one.
Manchester City, though, you would expect them to be most people's favourites for the league, with Chelsea dropping off so badly. But yet, they just beat Swansea and no more. They were terrible away to Stoke. They just beat Norwich.
Outclassed by Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool absolutely hammered them. Southampton probably should have got a point. And these are, you would think, fairly straightforward games. Well, not Liverpool and perhaps Southampton, for you know, a team like Manchester City. Okay, they've gone through in Europe and they've got themselves a nice draw with Dynamo Kiev there. But, you know, you look at them and you think, as Luke said last season, they're good for a rick, aren't they?
Yeah.
And when their centre, their spine is not there, they look soft.
Mm. I think that they the centre back pairing is obviously not up to standing.
No.
I think the problem is though, those at that level, they've got serious intentions upon like winning the Premier League again. They've got to be looking at a team like Swansea who are in a terrible run of form. You sit here at home, Swansea have got no manager. They should have been out of sight. I mean, the Gomez goal was a beautiful finish. I mean, you could say that Joe Hart was beaten.
No, it was a beauty.
But it was
Hart made some good saves before.
He had a great game. But City really, on form and on song, should have been out of sight. And the thing I don't really accept, we talked a couple of weeks ago, maybe even last week, about this spine of Man City, and you take out the three best outfield players, they're going to struggle. Mm. They are, but...
they shouldn't.
These players coming in should be staking a claim.
Yeah.
Why are they so what it says to me then is, if you take company out that side, he's clearly the captain, he's going to start games, and you bring in Di Michaelis to play alongside Otamendi, I think that's what happened against Swansea. Well, it's almost like if they play with such a resigned sense of sort of like, oh, well, I'm not in the team anyway, then what's the point of them even being there? Because the whole, when you, a great example would be when England had already qualified for the Euros and they played, who do they play in the final game? Lithuania. Mm. And Hodgson switched it up and England actually played quite well. Part of the reason they played well, of course they were playing Lithuania, but another reason they played well is because these players want to be part of the conversation. Yeah, yeah. They're knocking on the door, they want to play. And Man City's sort of fringe players, to me, don't look anywhere near motivated enough to try and force their way into that side.
On that, Joe Hart himself said a very interesting thing after the game, which was that it effectively said it's a shame that sometimes we need poking to come into action. And that's really pointed, isn't it? There's no way he's not saying that as a direct dig. Not necessarily dig, but a direct, you know, motivational tactic to some of the players in that dressing room, because you're right, they just don't look... look up for it, do they? It's weird.
It's one of the pitfalls of being one of these super rich new type of clubs. Basically, if you're a player like Otamendi, who's doing great in the Spanish league, he's playing every week, he's rated. He might have been even voted Spanish Defender of the Year or something like that. Mm. In La Liga Defender of the Year, whatever he was certainly very highly rated. Yeah, he goes to Man City on a massive pay packet. I don't know the guy, obviously, but if he's not in the side every week, then all of a sudden, it's like, what type of character are you? Do you want to be at a big club for the sake of being at a big club and take your money and maybe play a European game?
You're away from home. Yeah. Might not speak the language. Yeah. There's all those other social factors.
Have you got the character? And I'll tell you, it's a great example, is someone like Sami Nasri. All the talent in the world, if he's not in the side, he doesn't seem that bothered.
No.
You know, and so when you're a club of that size and you're signing essentially whatever player you want, you have to pay more attention on the type of character you're getting in there, because if they're happy to be out the side, they're not chomping at the bit, you're not getting the benefit of them, and also the player that is playing ahead of them isn't getting the benefit because they're not being pushed.
Yeah. Mm.
Look at what Alan Pardew said about Wayne Hennessy. He said, you know, Wayne Hennessy has got two decent quality goalkeepers behind him. They're not youth players. They've got Alex McCarthy, who they signed to be their first choice keeper to replace Spironi, and they've got Spironi. Hennessy wasn't in the team. He got an opportunity. There were injuries. He's now in the team. Those other two keepers, I think, as far as I'm aware, are both now fit. Yeah. And Hennessy's still getting picked. He's still playing. He was brilliant at the weekend. And part of the reason he's brilliant is because he's being pushed every week.
Mm-hmm. But that's one of the challenges of a modern club, isn't it? It's getting that exact balance right. And again, as you say, with one of those super rich clubs, everything's inflated. The wages are inflated. The transfer fees are inflated. So I guess, in a sense, the players' ideas of themselves are inflated as well. So that becomes even harder to get people that are sort of, as you say, not happy to not be playing, but to still be a team player when they're not and remain motivated.
Mm. More beautiful football chat after this little jingy.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Just staying briefly with Man City and Swansea. Shame about Gary Monk.
Yeah,
lost his job. It really is a shame, because he obviously got them to their best finish last season. He was a good player for them and so on and so forth, but it just really hasn't worked out this season quite emphatically.
Well, you know, they had a terrible run of games, but people were, you know, let's not forget, people were talking about Swansea for Europe at the start of this season.
Yeah, and him for England as a future England manager.
I mentioned that. I said he might be a barrier to Alan Pardew getting the job.
But then Hugh Jenkins, a Swansea owner or chairman, he's not afraid to switch it up. Then they have done that quite successfully. Mm. I mean, bearing in mind, Monk, they promoted from within.
And they're not afraid to think out of the box when it comes to appointments, though.
No.
To their credit, I think.
Well, do you know what I'd love?
Avram Grant's been mentioned.
Well, that will back up what Pete said.
That is a box that should be shut permanently.
That sounded really sinister.
Yeah.
Like you're in the mafia.
Yeah. Don't make me tell my story about him again.
Yeah. 100 times. Save it for another live show.
Yeah.
I'd love Bielsa.
Well, yeah.
He's been mentioned. He's been mentioned.
He's such an influential coach, Bielsa. But I guess that not managing England, there's a big sort of gap in his CV, I suppose. He may not think that way, but it certainly is a glaring omission, isn't it, that he's never managed in England. And I'd very much like to see him there. The thing about Swansea, I'm not defending Gary Monk's record or anything like that, but they are an element that they're a victim of their own success.
Yeah.
they almost went maybe about a year ago from being thought of as Swansea to a established Premier League team. And so, in a way, I think that the ownership of the club has sort of bought into the narrative that, like, oh my God, they're panicking a bit and we might not be a Premier League team next season.
And the money's coming, to be fair.
It is. In reality, though, I don't think they would have got relegated regardless. Mm. I just don't see that happening. I think there's three worst teams in the Premier League. I know that's a dangerous way of thinking if you're a Swansea person, but...
If you're a Swansea person.
Yeah, but I think, you know, fair enough. You know, they've done what they've done. It's their decision. But I don't think they would have gone. And I think Monk has been a victim of his own success in a way.
Mm. Meanwhile, at Liverpool, they were loving it, snatching a draw at home to West Brom. Hey, Jurgen Klopp, he's absolutely...
He got really, like, almost like... philosophically angry with Tony Pulis, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, it was strange, that, wasn't it? I mean, to be fair to Pulis, he said in the post match, "Oh well, you know, that just sort of happens down the touchline. I've chipped off at people before," or whatever he said. And actually, I thought fair play.
He always
to
comes
him.
Across as an all right bloke, Tony Pulis.
Yeah,
yes. If you take
as long as you're not in, as long as you're not under his no, but if you expertise.
Yeah, but you'd be talking about the James Beattie thing.
No, I'm just saying that if I was a footballer, I would be terrified of him.
Oh, yeah.
But if I was in his team.
Would it be like a healthy fear or an unhealthy fear like Van Gaal?
A bit of both.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
I think that's it. I think he probably walks that line quite well.
If you separate the style of football he plays, which isn't to everyone's taste, obviously, from the man himself, I think he comes across quite well.
No, I think he does.
He always seems very, very reasonable.
I think he's reasonable or a matter of fact.
He seems
he keeps his head.
The Berahino thing, I would say he handled it pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Klopp... A lot of people will say, celebrating a point that you've snatched at home against West Brom. But it's not that, is it? That's not what Klopp's doing.
He's missing the point. He's trying to build a community. He's trying to build everyone buying into it.
That's
well,
right.
He spends most of the time kind of conducting the fans and stuff. He really does see them as the
12th man.
The 12th man. Yeah. I hate to use that term. But I wonder how long that handhold run towards the fans is going to...
They do that at Dortmund, don't they? Yeah. Do they do it at every game in front of the yellow wall or not?
I'm not sure. They got beat 6-0, I don't think they would.
Yeah.
Didn't happen very often at Dortmund.
That
Klopp,
is true. Klopp did say, didn't he? That
what did he say, Jim?
He said that's the best reaction he's had from the Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
He said that was his reason for doing that. And it does make sense that they're trying to foster that sort of atmosphere, because we've all seen what Anfield can be like when the fans are really up for it. It's ridiculous. It's an outstanding atmosphere. So if they can foster that in every game, then great.
It's just a different form. I mean, you always used to see Alex Ferguson insisting all the players go over and clap the fans. Yeah. You'd always see him doing that, wouldn't you?
Mourinho, away to Blackburn, when they were trying to win the league for the first time, he said, "Go and throw your shirts into the crowd." But Klopp he's trying to conduct here, isn't he? And actually, he wants the players and the fans to be closer. As you said, Luke, more of a community, which they have more readily available in Germany.
Yeah.
It's difficult in the Premier League. But if he could do that, and as you say, Pete, you know, you can bring them into being the 12th man or whatever you want to say, it would be very, very effective. But I did like it. We said this, a few minutes ago, that when he said, look, you play however you want to play against us, obviously, that's that's their decision. But people shouldn't, is probably a better word, come here and beat us with the long ball and defensive
tactics. You should be able to defend against that. Yeah.
And he's right. You know, he wants to turn Anfield into a fortress. He wants to turn Anfield into a place where people turn up and go, if we can just nick a point here or something.
Yeah.
And there's not really any grounds at the moment in the Premier League like that. Teams still go to Arsenal thinking, I tell you what, we play tight, we make the use of our set pieces, we can get something. Manchester City, we talked about. Swansea nearly got something there. Old Trafford's not been the same for many years. Stamford Bridge, it's anyone's game.
It's a
collapse there.
Ruin.
Yeah. It is, yeah. So if he can sort out Anfield, you know, dare I suggest they could have a title push. I don't think they will, but you know.
Leicester's the only place.
Leicester.
Well, it was when Arsenal
went to score more.
Yeah,
the thing is as well, we should probably give West Brom some credit as well, because made it so, so difficult. With
Rondon missed a great chance, it would have been 3-1.
But they defend. Coutinho missed a good chance as well.
They defend so well. They just close off every passing avenue, and it just forces teams to go backwards against them and start again, and they just remain resolute. It's incredible to see Olsen have that goal disallowed for off score.
Well, it ended up being an off score, I suppose.
And then basically just do it again later.
But it was offside, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was offside. Yeah. But exactly the same scenario. He got his goal in the end.
But, I mean,
they're so good at it. You can see what they're going to do, but they still score.
It's set players, though. West Brom, I don't know how they get away with what they do.
Blocking
off keepers. I just think, as everybody's at it, the referee doesn't know where to look. He doesn't. Well, that's not bad enough. But by the time he's looking at that one, something else has started to the left.
I don't like it when pundits say, but if you give a penalty for that, you'll give like 10 a game. It's like, one week, and then it'll stop.
Because
then the whole thing will stop.
I would sort of say that I would have said, they were Jones and the system, they're getting away with it. They are at the top of the bad play. The anti-fair play.
The bottom of the fair
play. The bottom of the fair play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're a top of a league.
Behind
you're not top of
the negative zone.
There's not like a foul play league in which you're top of.
It's only because Newcastle's had a couple of red cards that they're in front of them on that one.
But you're right, Luke. If you give that one, well, you've got to give them. That's like someone, if they're done for speeding, 45 in a 40 zone. Well, you're not picking him. You broke the law.
Yeah.
He may have done as well. You definitely did.
It's like the whole world. And the thing is, if players crowd around the referee, you'd be given out 50 yellow cards a game. Well, again, for one week. They'll stop doing it, won't they? Because managers won't like it when players aren't available for selection.
Yeah, give
so
them all the
yellows.
They'll
stop them doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Strong arm them.
So you
take it to the managers.
You see the referee getting crowded around by a load of players, and then they say, oh, the manager won't stop them doing it. They should lead by example, blah, blah, blah. They're not going to do that. They're human beings. And in the heat of the moment, people get passionate. And that's part of what football is.
Yeah.
If the manager knows for a fact the referee's going to book every single player, and then to the back end of the season, there are about 8 games to left, and they're trying to battle against relegation. They've got no players because of suspensions. Yeah. They're going to tell the players to stop doing it. It's just as simple
true.
As that.
It is very
so the referees
true,
have to take the power back to a certain extent.
Mm. I think it was very good to see in the circumstances that we're just talking about now is Origi getting fouled, but then just getting back up and smacking the ball home. Now, yeah. Sturridge has picked up another injury. I'm not sure how serious it is, but he's going to be out for the short term again, at least. So, Origi's staking a claim now, isn't he? It's been a little bit of a slow start for him. But,
he's a young man, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he got a hat-trick recently. Yeah. He looks confident, looks powerful.
He'd take a lot of heart. I mean, I don't mean this in a horrible way, but it'll take a lot of heart from the fact that Sturridge isn't available, because it gives him an opportunity, possibly. And Benteke looks like a completely bereft of confidence. He looks exactly like a player who knows that the system is never going to suit him.
Yeah.
Would look. I mean, it's not like, oh, we're playing a slightly different formation this week because of the challenge ahead of us. It's like Jurgen Klopp is never going to play a type of football that Benteke thrives on. And so he looks bereft of confidence, as you'd expect. And that's another opening for Origi, isn't it?
But he'd be glad he's still not Aston Villa, though.
Yeah. He'd probably have a nicer time.
Dear God, they need him.
I forget who it was, but I saw a brilliant... You know, you still get these sort of friends in the media, Tim Sherwood apologists.
Yeah.
I saw a brilliant one today. I wish I could remember who it was, who said, oh, you know, Tim Sherwood had Mission Impossible. I mean, he had Benteke and Delph taken from him, and they had the spine and the heart of the side ripped out. He was never going to do any better. Like, what? He was never going to do any better? Right, okay. he could have just done a little bit better.
169, Jim. 169 clean sheets for Petr Cech in the Premier League, equaling the great David James record.
Do you know who's in the top five?
Oh, yeah.
Nigel Martin.
He's a good keeper, Nigel Martin.
He was a very good keeper.
Yeah. By the sounds of the updates earlier, he was not a good dresser.
A great dresser and a dad.
Nigel Martin essentially just suffered from the fact that David Seaman was so good for England.
Uh-huh. Ramsey scored a lovely one, which got Veng purring.
Ramsey's been absolutely fantastic since he came back from injury. I think it's 2 goals and 2 assists in 3 games, whatever it is. He's been very effective in each game he's been back.
Ever since I interviewed him fairly recently, he's been magnificent.
Yeah,
said Aaron.
Touched by brilliance.
Yeah. Here's a couple of tips.
But he's done exactly what Arsenal have needed him to do, which is just hit the ground running straight away. Because we've obviously got a lot of injuries, and him coming back into the middle, Cazorla and Coquelin are our first choice midfield pairing, and they're both gone. So it's Flamini and Ramsey now, and both of them have been fantastic.
Do you think they'll be equipped to stop Barcelona, Jim? As sure as morning follows night, Arsenal draw Barcelona.
Yeah, it's actually been a while because we've been on the end of the Bayern thumpings, which we've already had.
And you're still euphoric from the fact that you actually qualify from the group.
Instantly
dissipated.
But you've got to play them at some point, I mean, if you're going to get anywhere. So, you know,
I'm
not having that.
Well, not them or someone of a very high quality. If you're going to go far in the Champions League, a team like this is going to come up.
You
can't complain about it. We could have got Wolfsburg, but then we could have beaten Wolfsburg and got Barcelona next. So, I mean, you can't, like,
let's just not turn up.
Jim, you've got to be up for it. And then just pragmatic when you get hammered.
Let me make another prediction.
My
prediction is that... am I right in saying that the second leg is in the Nou Camp?
Yeah.
Mm. Right, so the first leg...
Arsenal will perform really well.
No, the first leg they'll get beaten about 3... They'll be beating like 3-0, be completely battered. The second leg, they'll have a really spirited 2-0 win at the Nou Camp.
Actually, against Barcelona, it tends to happen the other way around.
I was going
to
say, actually.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah. We will get something, or at least something near something at home, and then they'll just go, only joking, when we get to the Nou Camp.
Was it against Barcelona last time? It might not have been last time I played them, but I remember them getting a really good result in the Nou Camp, and they brought Nicholas Bentner on, and he did really well.
That was opposite land.
No, I think
what you're saying is they did okay at home. I think they were 2-0 down at home. Ibrahimovic
scored.
And
Bentner came on.
And it was 2-2.
Cesc Fabregas broke his leg taking a penalty.
That's right.
Which is the most Arsenal thing ever.
And then in the away tie. Oh, no, was it 2-2? And I remember in the away tie
Bentner
that they were
chance,
down.
Didn't he?
And Bentner actually had a chance at the end. And I think if he'd have scored, would they have sneaked through an away goal?
Yeah, we would have.
Whereas
Barcelona was running through treacle.
But Barcelona was so dominant in the game, it would be weird to think that little chance they got at the end. But obviously, Bentner just fluffed it.
I don't know if it was the same game. I think it might have been. But Van Persie was sent off for something. And I still don't even really understand what it actually was.
It was for kicking the ball away. And
that's right. I wish he had gone, but he hadn't heard it. Yeah. because
it was really, really quick after the whistle. It was like, yeah, it was so marginal, it was unbelievable. Uh-huh. But can I actually say, just chuck something into the ring that is the most Arsenal thing, that my personal most Arsenal moment ever, is when they signed Kim Kalster and had a broken back.
Yeah. Oh, we spoke about that the other week.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I still like it.
All I'm saying is, for
it
those
play a part, though.
For those who like home comforts and those who don't like change, Arsenal have drawn Barcelona in the last 16 and Spurs are fifth. So North London, if you don't like change, you're still absolutely sorted. Yeah.
Quick moment to mention the Ayoze Perez goal, which is fantastic for Newcastle. It's, yeah, it's my favourite goal of the weekend.
The way he took it.
Yeah.
Lloris so might early. Be a little bit disappointed, but it was because he took it so early. Pete Donaldson, two wins on the bounce.
Doesn't Mitrovic's,
two TV wins.
Doesn't Mitrovic's crappy tattoo look like ringworm?
I don't know, but he looked brilliant.
Give
it,
give ringworm a Google, guys.
Give ringworm a chance.
Can I go back to the clean sheet by Petr Cech?
Yeah, that's all right.
I want to talk about Cech's biscuit. Did you see this? His wife baked him a biscuit.
I've met his wife.
Good.
Didn't bake me a biscuit.
Her name is Chekhova.
Yeah,
she's called Petr Cech, and she's called Chekhova.
Oh.
Because her name is a concatenation of her old name and a new name. So she's called Dolishova.
Yeah.
And now she is Chekhova.
Right.
Victoria Beckham could have been called Beckham Adams.
Yeah, she
would have been brilliant. But my point is, she baked a little biscuit of Petr Cech in his goalkeeping kit.
Right.
But it wasn't the same goalkeeping kit that he's going to be wearing this afternoon, which makes me think they've been kicking around for a little while. She's been expecting him to break this record for a long time.
Equal.
Yeah. And it was a funny green colour, so it looks like the item's gone off. So all I'm saying
is... Are you genuinely criticising Petr Cech's wife's baking?
I am. No, storage. Why has it gone green?
This is the biggest attack on somebody involved in football's wife since Jose Mourinho went after Rafa Benitez's wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think you should just calm down.
What other football show can you hear that sort of baking storage related criticism?
Let's talk about the tactics. Go away.
Yeah. All right, then. All right, Noah, you've been naughty. And so we're not going to talk about Newcastle anymore.
Talk about Sunderland.
Let's talk about Sunderland.
Hey.
Watford, eh? Yeah.
Big save from Gomez in there.
Ighalo again. He's now the highest scoring Watford player in Premier League history.
Is that like all together rather than in a season?
No, him on his own.
Yeah, because what I mean is I thought...
No other Watford
weeks,
player has scored more in Premier League history.
Yeah, so...
Because they've hardly played in the league.
Yeah, indeed. But a couple of weeks ago, he broke the record for in a single season, didn't he? But now it's forever, is that right?
Forever. All time. He's the highest scoring Watford player in Premier League
Jim,
history.
Don't question it.
Yeah. He doesn't understand my question.
It'll be wrong anyway. It's fine.
Yeah.
No other Watford player has scored more goals than him in the Premier League in a season or more than one season, Jim. Therefore, he is the highest scoring Watford player in Premier League history.
Yeah.
Thanks for clarifying that.
That's all right.
So when I said
he's the highest scoring Watford player in Premier League history...
Yeah, but I just wondered if you maybe had your stats confused.
No.
It's happened.
It's hardly my stat, is it?
Well, it is if you're reporting it.
All right, then. John O'Shea, here's another stat for you. You ready for this one, Jim?
Merry Christmas, everyone.
John O'Shea reached 400 Premier League appearances.
Sorry, is that in one season?
Is that just John's?
Yeah.
Just the John's?
This is where it could get confusing. He's only the third Irishman to do so, along with Shea Given and Richard Dunn. Mm. Yeah, so he got all four of them himself. Yeah. Are we all good?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Lovely.
Now... Talking of Ireland...
Well, no, Watford.
Watford, I think, up to seventh.
I just wanted to make a quick point that if Leicester weren't doing so well, I think Kike Sanchez Flores would be getting a lot more attention than he is.
Yeah, absolutely. But are they not enjoying
that?
He's happy with that.
He'd be happy with that, yeah.
Yes, he's very happy with that.
The issue with Watford is that so many of their goals are coming from Deeney and Ighalo.
Well, all of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's similar to Swansea.
It's only an issue for opposition defences, mate.
Well, no, but once that gets figured out,
Will it though?
Well, let's hope not, because it's brilliant.
Yeah. Once we figure out Messi, Neymar, and Suarez, we'll be marching to the last
eight. Imagine Leicester win the league, Watford in the Europa, and Chelsea relegated.
Oh God,
that really would be opposite land. That really would be Nicholas Bent, the World Player of the Year territory. That'd be.
Lovely old job. Now then, it wasn't just the Champions League that got drawn recently. The Euro 2016 group stage,
yes,
that got drawn as well. Mm. England in with Wales.
Where other football podcasts apparently disregard international football, we refuse to do so.
Balls to them.
Yeah, balls to them.
Wales will beat England. We've predicted that already. Yeah. England play Russia first and then obviously Slovakia last. People saying, oh yeah, that's a pretty decent group. I suppose it is in one sense. But another sense, like, Wales could win that group.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
You know, England I mean, if England
mate,
can't...
any four of them can.
Exactly.
That's how it goes.
they can, Jim. Getting a bit of respectability back there. England should go through.
Three teams can go through from the groups. I mean,
I'm very aware of how it works.
You're really struggling if you don't get through.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, is a little bit of the magic going to go out of that? Is it sort of... I mean, would you say there's a group of death?
Yes.
What would you say that is?
Group B, yeah, Ireland, Belgium, Italy, and Sweden.
The Swedish one.
Easily the group of death.
Three going through, is it? You know, is it as deathy as it could be?
Three go through only in four of the groups.
Yeah, you have to still have done well to get there.
Think Italia 90. What's Shigala doing, guys?
He's not evolved. He's not going to be
involved. Although he has scored twice for Nigeria, I checked earlier. He's playing well for Nigeria.
Yeah, not he's relevant, though, to the European Championship.
If that ever moves into Europe, we'll
not,
be salted.
Not at the time of recording.
It was quite nice to see Platini banned from his own draw for the tournament.
Lovely.
So England. Northern Ireland and with Germany, Poland and Ukraine.
It's a tough one.
That is very, very tough.
You're hoping for an absolute Ukraine shocker there, aren't you? And just something from elsewhere.
It is, yeah. But, hey, gets the old mouth watering for next summer.
But I think realistically, the team of like Northern Ireland have done very well to qualify. I mean, what are they realistically looking at? They're probably looking at, if we can get out of the group, that's massive for us.
Absolutely.
And so if they can beat Ukraine and potentially pick up a point somewhere else, it's not against the realms of possibility that they'll go through. And so if that's the case, then that's a successful tournament for them. Sure, they're not going to win it, are they?
Yeah, but they would have rather, you know, Portugal, Croatia, I mean, another. Do you know what I mean?
Still tough, though.
It is, but Germany and Poland.
They could have feasibly picked up Portugal, Switzerland, and Hungary.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been manageable, you know.
Better.
Yeah, very much so.
It would have been certainly better. I think England have got to be reasonably pleased, though.
I found it preposterous that Italy were in group pot two and England were in pot one.
But it's the UEFA rankings, not the FIFA rankings.
I understand that, but Italy are
I thought
Italy deserved to be in pot one.
Yeah, yeah. So did all of Italy.
Yeah. I'm sure they did. Yeah.
You know, but there we are. Them's the breaks. Mm. Them's the breaks. Now we're going to talk a little more Football League action, and then we're off to Europe after this. So good. Very good. Very good. So good.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
In League Two, it was the Donaldson Moor Derby.
It was.
Uh-oh.
Or the Monaldson Derby?
Yeah. Donmore Derby.
Or the Door Derby.
The Big Dons.
Yeah. Portsmouth played Hartlepool.
There was only one.
Portsmouth 4, Hartlepool 0.
Hartlepool did not play back. Because Portsmouth smashed them 4-0.
Pompey, they're full 3 points off an automatic promotion place, Luke. Are they you getting excited?
Well, we sort of seem to have given a good impression of a team who's sorted their home format, which is really important.
How high are the arousalment levels in the Luke Moore body?
I would say the arousalment levels are... Well, we'll tell you what, we go away to Northampton Town next weekend and they're top of the league. Uh-huh. And Portsmouth have got a good away record.
Ooh.
If we can beat them...
Peak levels.
If we can beat them, turn your Christmas lights up.
That is a perfectly cromulent fixture.
I've got a ship for you to sail all the way back to Portsmouth Harbour and it might well be called the HMS League 2 Trophy.
And something to hang your towels on as well.
No problem at all. Well, towel singular.
Hartlepool, 8 points above the relegation zone, Pete.
You're not doing that well.
Hartlepool's United not doing very well.
The only two teams that begin with a Y are currently in the bottom two, Yeovil and York.
Yeah, it's the first time in Football League history.
In the Football League, I should say.
It's the first time in Football League history that the two alphabetically last teams have occupied the last in the Football League, so 91st
and 92nd. On my radio show, there's a guy called Yeovil Andy, and he's one of my regular listeners, and he always texts in going, "Hoping for a win this weekend for my team." And he works in like a... at the back end of a pub, cooking like the chicken and stuff.
Is he a big
Yeovil fan? And every week I check Yeovil's, and they always lose.
Does he only cook chicken?
Cooking the chickens and stuff.
He's a chef.
He's a chicken cooker. Or possibly a chicken cooker's son. He's only cooking chickens until the chicken cooker comes.
Right? Very good. Very good. Let's go to La Liga. Barcelona threw away a 2-goal lead at home to Deportivo. Jonas Gutierrez.
They're just trying to lull Arsenal into a false sense of security.
They are.
They knew they would get us.
Jonas Gutierrez at Deportivo. He hasn't played much for them. Does that worry you, Pete? You want to see him playing football.
He's quite old.
He is, yeah. But you're right, Jim. They could be lulling you. And then they'll be lolling at you.
I think they will.
But it was great to see Roberto Soldado scoring the only goal against Real Madrid for Villarreal.
I was absolutely stunned because I saw a decent part of this game. I was stunned to find out afterwards that Real Madrid had a front five of Benzema, James Rodriguez, Ronaldo, Gareth Bale, and Luka Modric, if you want to count him, because he's a playmaker type style player. And they have managed 2 shots on target all games,
Paul.
Too many chicken cookers.
And Soldado scored that goal without a care in the world, like a completely new human being.
It was a lovely pass from Bakambu. And they've got a decent partnership.
Soldado has struggled here and there, but he's done, from what I've seen, he's done fairly well.
He's not scored too many, but he's been reasonably talented.
Last few games, he's been good. He's been good.
There's a few assists there. Madrid against Roma in the Champions League.
Yeah, that's a good one, because Roma have been poor. They got through on 6 points, which was the lowest in Champions League history, I believe. Yeah.
And Spurs got Fiorentina. That's such a tough draw.
Yeah, it is.
Such a tough draw. Because they've got so many different teams.
Yeah.
They could pick up Fiorentina, who knocked them out last season.
That's true. Get the revenge, though.
They could do.
There's some good size in the Europa League as well.
Yeah, there are, yeah.
Atleti, they've been drawn against PSV in the Champions League. They could be a good outside bet.
They're doing really, really well. As we were saying the other week, they're just quietly going about it. I think, are they level on points with Barcelona or a point behind?
They are, Jim. Griezmann scored a beauty to beat Atleti.
Messi-esque.
It was
a beautiful left-foot strike from a distance. And Atletico, what, are they 5 points above Real Madrid now?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, the way La Liga works as well, with Barca and Atleti being that far ahead of them, those teams, they don't really drop points very often. That, at this stage, could even be enough.
It's true. It's hard to see... it's basically hard to see Real Madrid win anything this season now. They've obviously been... Yeah. Bombed out the Copa del Rey for admin reasons. I don't think they're going to win the Champions League, and they look very unlikely for them to win the league this season.
That said, though, Benitez has form with this sort of thing in Europe, doesn't he?
He's a very good coach in European competition, I'll give you that. That's probably the only shine light for them at the moment, I'd say.
Will they give him time? He'll probably get to the end of the season.
Yeah, he'll get to the end of the season.
Wait until they go 3-0 down in the final.
I think I'm right in saying one of the things that's got work in his favour is I think a lot of the ire from supporters has been focused on Florentino Perez, not just Benitez. Yes. So he might have a bit of breathing room there.
He might well do. Yeah. Gary Neville, his first league game in Charles, ends with a disappointing draw. His team didn't register a shot on target.
Still scored, though, so you could argue that's quite
very
clever.
Fortunate own goal.
Quite clever though, isn't it?
Very clever.
But no shots on target, still score, bruv.
Yeah. Yeah. 1-1 away to Eibar, yeah. They did play like a team of committed right backs.
What is the Wayne Gretzky quote? You score.
No, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
So, yeah, that's it. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Their accuracy was quite high.
They got 100% of the shots they didn't take.
What's your point, Pete?
I'm trying to say it's the complete reverse of that.
Yeah, okay. Gary Neville, do you reckon the team are just going to become really adept at like throw-ins and shepherding,
yeah,
sort of really abstract stuff that fullbacks do, like showing the player onto his wrong foot? Yeah. They'll all get really good at that.
Just, they'll queue up. Just shuffle them down. Yeah. Yeah, just like a little corridor.
It'll be 90 minutes of shepherding. No possession, but shepherding the whole game.
Do they shepherd it into the net?
Punctuate.
They won't have a shot.
They get so good at shepherding, they actually get the other team to shepherd the ball into their own net, and then they only punctuate with the occasional long throw-in.
Yeah. What's that thing in the Winter Olympics? I'm back again.
Curling.
Where you just sort of, you're kind of broom, making the ground go faster or slower.
Yeah, basically you brush
the ice.
You're
not touching the ball itself.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Just doing it for the fans.
I'd love to see that.
We're in a different studio today, and I am fairly certain at this point there's some sort of gas leak in it.
Would you like to see, like, as well, would you like to see them every single player just constantly overlapping the other in the fullback style? So there'd be like a player, imagine it, it'd be like a player with a ball, and instead of all the other players in the right position, they'd all be lining up behind the player with the ball and just do constant
and just
overlaps.
Yeah. It'd be like a fractal. the Mandelbrot set.
Yeah.
For corners as well, just 11 men on the line.
Yeah. an attacking corner, the one player taking the corner and the other 9 outfield players on their own defensive line. Defending the corner that's actually up the other end of the pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so they still got a draw, though, didn't they? Yeah. So if anyone didn't see the game, it's very much worth watching.
He certainly got his work cut out for him. Wanmei in the goal
as of yours.
Yeah, Wanmei in goal for Valencia made one of the saves of the season early on. You should check that out. Damn you. Right. Hang on. Let's go to Bulgaria before we go to Brazil. Now, it's been announced that a very special football match will take place next May to celebrate Hristo Stoichkov's 50th year.
Mm-hmm.
We remember him from the 94 World Cup and other such things.
What a glorious year.
What a glorious year, Jim. Two of Croatia's finest have confirmed, Davor Suke and Zvonimir Boban. Others confirmed include Diego Maradona, Carlos Valderrama, Georgi Hagi, Georgi Popescu, Jorge Campos, Jose Chilavert, Ivan Zamorano, Daniele Massaro, Gianfranco Zola, and his old teammate Jordan Lechkov.
What a
lineup!
German heartbreaker, Jordan Lechkov.
Baldy Bonts.
Surely Ronaldinho is getting involved in that.
My favourite thing about this is when you mentioned this earlier, saying that they're going to split the teams by right footers and left footers.
Yeah,
that is a fascinating experiment. Yeah. I'd love to
really
see that.
Odd.
Well, look, that's
again,
according
just
to the
showing onto the other foot. Be like the Neville tactics.
Mm. Tickets are on sale.
It's a bit of a trek.
Get yourself over to Sofia.
But if you are going to go to Sofia for any game, go to
should
that
do.
One.
Should
go
do.
To that one for sure.
Yeah. Right then, to Brazil. Roger Senni, the man on the telly. He's hung up his gloves and boots at the age of 42, the now former Sao Paulo goalkeeper. He still holds the record for the scoring of the goals. He is, Jim, bear with me on this, he's the highest scoring goalkeeper in history with 131 goals, all for Sao Paulo.
What's
131
goals.
It's an
amazing, so does that mean he scored all of the goals that a goalkeeper's ever scored?
Yeah.
What's a goalkeeper, Marcus?
Not only does he hold that, according to the Guinness World Records, he has played the most number of games for the same club and has captained for the most amount of times for the same club as well. Three incredible records there.
Just absurd.
Absolutely phenomenal.
If you want a bit of perspective on how many goals that is for a goalkeeper, that is more than Emil Heskey scored league goals in his entire career, and he's a striker.
And played for a long time. Yeah.
He's still playing.
But it's not like he's playing at a bad level, is it?
No. I know. Well, Senni played for Sao Paulo from 92 to 2015, and he became their free kick and penalty taker in 1997. So not even the whole time of his career, but still. He made over 1,250 appearances for Sao Paulo and won pretty much everything he could for them in South America. He was in Brazil World Cup squads at 2002 and 2006.
But he didn't play, did he?
I think he came on in 2006. He did get a few minutes at a World Cup, which was quite nice. But he does have a winner's medal, of course. Yeah. OT, he's part of the squad.
If he's the free kick and penalty taker, I want to know the stats on how many times he's been lobbed from the halfway line.
Yeah.
I bet it's less than 125.
He must, when it comes to taking free kicks especially, he must think, right, I'm going to have to hit this harder rather than softer.
Yes,
because if it goes to the keeper's arms, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah.
So I reckon he probably had a higher percentage of shots, free kicks gone over the bar than any other free kick.
Probably. Yeah. Well, Jose Chilavert
as well. Imagine if it hits the post or bar or something.
Or keeper just saves it.
Yeah.
But I think that's such a statement, though. You're thinking, he won't miss.
He can't miss. Mm. Yeah. And so he invariably he didn't.
I would just be like, look, we've got other players.
I know. Literally specialists.
I know this is your thing, but my thing is winning games as a manager.
Put your gloves back on. Yeah. Stop that.
But he overtook Jose Chilavert, who's also another notable goal-scoring goalkeeper. He'll be playing in the match as well. Chilavert took a free kick at a World Cup, remember, for Paraguay in 98, I think it was. But it was just nice to see Seni given a bit of recognition there. Mm. They had a big farewell match for him, and afterwards there was a stage set up for a presentation. He's a big fan of the old rock music, so he got his guitar out.
Oh, a bit of the Billich about him.
Yeah, that's great.
A bit of the Gareth Ainsworth about
him. And also what I like about that is it's as near as the Dean Windass Hall of Fame as we're going to get.
Yeah, it very much so is.
Yeah. Well done, Roger Seni. I think round of applause.
He's not already in there.
Is he really?
I think he might be.
Well,
if
he's not, it was
an
oversight, 2002 World Cup in there.
So he's been in there in one way or another.
That doesn't reverse the induction in the first place.
The polarity.
We've not clapped him out.
One
more clap just in case.
Yeah, Roger Seni. Now it's time for the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
Luke Moore. I've got a smaller selection of highlights of the week this week because I suspect that the top one might be a bit of a talking point. and a few people got in touch about it, so I thought I couldn't really leave it out. But I've given the honours to Matt Page, who was the first person to mention it on the Facebook. He says, I saw the trailer for Independence Day 2 today, thus proving once and for all Jeff Goldblum is A-list. Mm. Over to you, Jim Campbell.
Bill Pullman is also in it.
Yeah. Would you say he's A-list?
No, I wouldn't. Lots of people just not
he
understanding
looks like Glenn
how
Hoddle,
the A-list works.
He does a bit.
He does look a bit like Glenn Hoddle as well, actually.
Mm. But I think I'm
but
right.
If Glenn Hoddle had been living in the woods for 20 years.
If Glenn Hoddle was an A-list.
He's got a grey beard now, Andy Bill Pullman. Yeah. But I was going to say, Jim, I think a few things, because this has been a very hot topic among our listeners. Now, I think one of the things they've
incredibly.
Missed. Yeah, one of the things they've missed. This is the sort of thing our listeners get
I love
excited
it.
About. It's this and obscure trivia facts that we got wrong. But you have never at any point said you're not a fan of Goldblum.
No, see, this is what people seem to miss. I love him.
Mm. Yeah.
Backtracking.
But the thing is,
that sort of propaganda doesn't help.
Your Bill Pullman point is a sort of moot one because Bill Pullman, God bless him, is not being expected to carry this movie.
Neither's Goldblum.
He isn't. He's all over the trailer.
Yeah, but you've got to have some humans in it.
Well, we've got. Is it Captain America? No, he's not Captain America. Who's the fella? Who's doing it? He's the main guy. He's the main hero.
Jeff Goldblum.
The young guy.
He's not in the trailer. Will Smith.
Stop this. He's Australian. He's one of two brothers.
Liam Hemsworth.
Yes, Hemsworth.
I didn't notice it. I'm honestly not just saying this. I didn't recognise him in the trailer.
Well, because you're dazzled by Goldblum because you're of a certain age.
Because Goldblum's A-list.
Who isn't?
Jurassic Park and Independence Day.
Marcus, we've been through this before. I just include you in the bracket of people who don't understand how the A-list works.
Mm. Right, it looks bloody awful either way.
Yeah, Marcus, it's hard to see things when you're very close to it yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jim, take it out with Matt Page. Anyway.
Yeah,
you know what to do, listeners. You know what to do.
Commence the bombardment.
As we've seen, most of them agree with me. Yeah. So dive in, guys on my side.
Well, apparently most of you agree with Jim, if that's the case.
I love it if the years and years we've been doing the show is eventually brought down by a massive, fiercely contested debate about Jeff Goldblum.
I would expect it to go down, to be fair.
This is quite a nice one. Tyler Doft says, my highlight was Pep Guardiola passing a note to Philip Lahm during the Bayern game, and 2 minutes later they scored. What did it say on it? Beer on me, lads, if you put out the win.
Might have just been a Paul Ince-esque shoot.
Could have been. And Alex Nuttall says, my highlight was Bojan talking about how much he loves Breaking Bad in his Guardian interview. Yeah. I remember one of you guys a few weeks ago saying he would make a good Jesse Pinkman and that Stoke was ripe for a meth problem. I don't remember us saying that.
No one said that about Stoke.
But it sounds like something we would say. Was it a terrifying premonition?
Yeah. Mm.
But Bojan obviously in great form at the moment, so I thought he deserved a mensch.
My highlight of the week was nice to see Leighton Baines back.
Yes, he almost scored a great goal. He rattled one off the post with his right foot as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it was good to see.
Any more for anyone?
You got any more, guys?
No? Okay, let's have a website roundup, Jimmy.
Okay, I'll give you a little website roundup from the always excellent Kelly Wells. She says, where the hell is Adel Tarrant? Asked no one ever. Well, we found him anyway, and excess weight is still interfering with his performance. A poll involving a nudie picture of Herve Renard confirmed many things we'd long suspected about the Ramble fan base. Get over that if you can handle it. Difficult questions are asked of Louis van Gaal after Manchester United's Champions League exit, and Roma revealed their entry for the Ramble's literally the most god-awful item in a club shop contest, which that really does have to be seen to be believed.
It's fiercely competitive, that area as
absolutely,
well.
Yeah. And obviously, as well as that, we've got your usual weekend highlights and other daft rubbish. So get over there, that's thefootballramble.com, and follow the always excellent Kelly Wells on @Kelly_Wells.
I just wanted to just briefly take a moment to say that the worst item I've seen in a club shop is unquestionably the Fulham club shop under the Mohamed Al Fayed era, where they had a Michael Jackson T-shirt of him like waving outside Fulham's ground.
Yeah,
lovely,
terrible,
beautiful.
No, it was with Al Fayed. I know this. We all have one.
We bought it. Yeah. But is Al Fayed in the T-shirt as well?
I think so.
Fair enough.
But the actual label in it is from the Michael at the Cottage range. But it wasn't just one T-shirt; there were a few different ones.
Great. Wow, that's a slur.
Great stuff, Pete. You must have bought some bad merchandise in your
I had Alan Shearer's face on a mug for quite a while.
That's not bad.
But water, fetid water would get behind his face, and what? I had to throw it in the bin because I was worried about getting an infection of some kind.
Did your dad fish it out and start drinking from it?
Yeah, he's like, no wrong with that, son.
If you keep drinking from it,
I'll see you, but I don't care.
You eventually get a horrific knee injury. I saw a terrible piece of merchandise only today. Of course, time of recording, this hasn't happened yet, but the Chelsea are going to Leicester in the Monday night game.
Yeah.
And there was someone posted a photo on Twitter of a half and half scarf, but it was Ranieri and Mourinho.
Oh, right.
So it said Claudio Ranieri, the Tinker Man, versus Jose Mourinho, the special one. Like, it was like a boxing bout. It was bad.
How far does that go? Like, Nemanja Matic and, like, you know, N'Golo Kante.
But tell you what would be good, remember the classic Vidic versus Torres years?
Can you imagine, like, if
Keenan
a
Vieira.
Sheep...
yeah.
Like, you've cut off a sheep's coat to make a half and half scarf.
Yeah.
I mean, Pete, would be very annoying.
Disrespectful to a very, very respected farmyard animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you get a Newcastle United scarf with Bowyer and Dyer on it?
Yeah. And rub the ends together and make static electricity.
Or a Blackburn one, Batty and Lasso.
They'd be gloves, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would be gloves.
You'd have the names on each fist.
One each.
The only thing we need to take away from this particular little section is that respect the wool and where it came from.
Yeah, exactly.
Respect the provenance of the material.
The Torres-Vidic one, the Vidic half would just be in tatters.
it'd be red for a red card. Lol.
There we are. Right, before we go, we've got to tell you about the Christmas show, which is up on iTunes. Yeah. Thanks very much to all who bought it. There was a bit of an error.
Yeah, there was an error.
Shenanigans.
Not our end.
No.
iTunes, and between iTunes and the company we used to host it, it was priced up erroneously at £7.99. So if you've seen that, apologies for
We've
that.
We've not gone mental.
It's now been rectified and it is £2.49.
It's £15 now.
Yeah. Those who got away with that, well done.
Yeah, we corrected it.
Hope you're proud of yourselves.
We basically thought we'd change the price to go along with the relative quality of the show. And so now it's 9p. it's now £2.49. It's a lot of fun.
Which we pay you.
So to get yourself over there and you'd have to search on the album section, but it's just called The Football Ramble Christmas
Party. Yeah, I mean, just head over to thefootballramble.com. There's a link up there that can find it quite easily on iTunes. It's all good.
And if you're not an iTunes type of person, there's also a PayPal link if you want it as well.
No Lovely. Excuses. No excuses. What about 442s, Pete?
Yes, 442s. Dean for 442s has continued to do some fantastic videos for us. You can find him over at youtube.com/442s. Someone got on the forum got annoyed about me explaining 442s, so I'm going to do it again. 442 or... this is excruciating. 442 O-O-N-S.
So is he the record holder or not?
I'm so tired, guys. I'm so sorry everyone who's listening to this.
I think that you should also make it clear that what he does, if you haven't heard before, is he does animated versions of us.
Mm.
It's not just random videos, is it?
No.
No.
He's got loads of stuff up there. But some of them are of us. Check them out.
Check them out.
And
right.
Subscribe at Football Ramble.
Yeah, for as well. That's our YouTube channel. You're all over the place.
I'm literally giving some information out just then that was correct.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Pete.
Peter, it's been a pleasure. Say goodbye to your dear fans.
Bite me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Everyone bite me. Oh, dear.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate lightweight, super packable travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.